Electronic Privacy Information Center is suing the Department of Homeland Security. It's also suing the National Security Agency. In both cases, EPIC is unhappy with how the government responded to its Freedom of Information Act requests for more information on specific programs. Amy Stepanovich is EPIC's National Security Counsel. She joins Jason Miller and I live in studio to discuss both lawsuits. Good morning, Amy. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Whoops. Helps if I turn on your mic. Sorry about that.
No problem. Good morning.
So let's start with this case against DHS and tell us some of EPIC's concerns there.
Well, in 2010, DHS started this program where it was going to monitor people who were posting online on public forums, Facebook, Twitter, about things that they thought were interesting. And at the time, it was only in relation to very, very specific events. The tsunami in Japan, I think they were doing the earthquake in Haiti, big things, and they wanted to see what people were saying and if anybody was saying anything of interest. Later in 2010, they decided they were going to expand this program. So early 2011, they published a notice in the Federal Register. They said, we're going to start monitoring everybody who posts on these public media, on Facebook, on Twitter, and we're going to pick up everything they post of interest. They're starting to track keywords like virus and illegal immigrants. So if you're posting about anything that's a hot topic, your post is being picked up, and they're keeping that information for 5 years, and they're sharing it with local law enforcement and other people. What they're also doing, and what we find one of the most peculiar things, is they're creating fake profiles. So they're going on Facebook, they're making a profile, and they're using that profile to friend people. So if your posts are blocked to only people you're friends with, they're actually getting to those posts as well, because they're doing it through these fake, random, anonymous profiles.
And is there any suggestion from EPIC that any of these activities are potentially illegal or contrary to regulation, or just creepy and stuff that we would rather not happen?
Well, they've gone through the proper channels to implement these regulations. The problem is first, they're keeping this information for 5 years. Second, we have this thing called the First Amendment that guarantees you the right to free speech. And you have to wonder, when your speech isn't free anymore, when the government is watching everything you say and retaining it and sharing it, and at what point people are going to stop talking, when that infringes upon your basic rights under the Constitution.
Now, how can they look at everything on Twitter, everything on Facebook? I mean, look, if you look at something like Facebook, what's their 700 million users, 800 million users? Even if people don't post every day, which I think about 699 million of them do, how do they follow it? I mean, is it a search engine type of it just doesn't make it. It seems kind of odd that they can do this well.
Well, and they have software that basically scrapes all of Twitter and all of Facebook for these key terms that they're looking for. So they're not looking at everything that everybody posts. They don't want to know if you're going to your grandmother's house or if you just had a really, really good sandwich at Subway. What they really want to know is, are you posting about things that interest them? So they're pulling up these key terms, and they're only looking at posts related to that, and then they're saving those in these profiles.
So when EPIC followed your FOIA request for more information, what was DHS's response, or did they not respond at all?
Well, when EPIC filed the request, and this was back in April 2011, DHS acknowledged the request. They went through a lot of procedural problems that we're also suing them against. They said that we weren't a news media organization, which is directly contrary to something that the district court has said in the past. And then they said that basically, they never substantively responded to the request. They acknowledged that they received the request, and then we didn't get a response after that. So
you felt like the next step was to try to sue them, or did you try to go to them again and say, listen, we are looking for more details?
Yeah, and at EPIC, when we file these FOIA requests, we always try to, you know, let the agency do its best to respond to us first. So after we filed the initial request and we talked to them through the responses, once we realize that they're not responding anymore, we do file an administrative appeal. We go back to them and say, listen, you might have forgotten about this, but we're still here waiting for all of these documents that we requested. Once they've ignored the appeal also, that's when we resort to court, and that's when we finally have to sue them and say, really, we would like to know about these documents. We think they're important. We think the public needs to know what information is being gathered.
It's that idea of public good to help kind of give that information. What's the status of this? Are you still waiting for the court to decide? Where are we?
We just filed our first motion for summary judgment. That's how FOIA cases are decided. And we're waiting to hear back from them. And it's going to go through this whole process where we submit a brief, and then they submit a brief. And then the court, based on these motions, is going to make a determination if they have to release documents. Now, normally in these cases, documents are released in the middle of it, and they'll turn over something, and they'll say, well, we think these can be disclosed, but we're going to hold back these pieces. And then we have to further kind of elaborate on these pieces that come out.
So is there a timing? Do you think it's going to take 6 months, another year, or even more to in terms of you get a final kind of at least the initial decision?
We take about 2 months to get all the briefs in, and then it can take about another month to 2 months for the judge to make a decision. That's if nothing comes along, if no complications come along.
We are speaking with Amy Stepanovich, EPIC's National Security Counsel. Let's shift over to the other lawsuit you guys are filed also against the National Security Agency in their case with Google. Give us the what are some of your concerns here?
Well, EPIC had been saying since 2009 that Google should implement secure protocol for Gmail services. What they were basically doing was all of your Gmail was being sent in plain text. So anybody could go in, anybody with basic knowledge of how to intercept communications could go in and take your Gmail out and see what you were sending and receiving. So we were saying, you really need to do this encrypted. We really want you to do this. And Gmail kept saying, no, 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 no. And finally in 2010, Gmail got hacked. It was this big scandal. The hacks originated in China. Google called them highly sophisticated. And the next day, Google announced that they were going to encrypt Gmail, which was great for us because that was a victory. However, at the same time, you're getting major news reports from the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, that Google had contacted the NSA and said and reached out for help and was sharing information with them. Now, Google has a massive amount of information on us. And regardless of people's feelings toward what Google has on us, you're getting a strong sense that Google, that people don't want that information shared with the government. So we're having reports that there's this relationship between Google and the NSA. Information is being passed back and forth, and EPIC was really trying to get a handle on what that was.
And is it EPIC's position that there should be no interaction between NSA and commercial providers like Google, et cetera, or that we just need to know what they are?
Well, I think we feel that the public has the right to know what information is going back and forth. And if the NSA has the ability to make Google more secure, they're going to go back and forth and really help people, then I think that's a good thing overall. However, we really don't want information flowing, all this massive amount of personal data flowing back and forth between the government, who stores it in databases for God knows how long, and which people have no access to. And if it's incorrect, people have no way of correcting it. So they can get incorrect information stored in a file about them forever, basically. And we don't want that to happen.
Now, at the same time, the National Security Agency, they have a law that says they cannot spy on American citizens, very similar to the CIA law. They're only supposed to be looking at communications that kind of are overseas. So it would, and I have talked to, interviewed people at NSA several times, and I know they're very aware of that law, mm-hmm. and that they're not, you know, they publicly will say, we don't want to get caught. You know what I mean? Not that they're doing it, but they don't want to do it because they don't want to worry about the consequences. So is the concern that Google went to them for help? Because NSA helps a lot of private sector companies, Microsoft, Apple, just mm-hmm. to name two. Or is the concern about the specific data that's being shared?
Well, we were trying to find the information on the specific data being shared. However, what the NSA came back to us and said is that it's in our mission. It's one of our missions to help companies like this who come to us. And we can't even tell you if this data exists. Like, we're not going to say that there are documents. We're not going to say that there aren't documents. We're not going to even mention if there's an agreement. We're just going to totally keep our hands off of it because this is part of the NSA's core mission. And they did this without even looking for documents. And what we've said is that our request was so broad, we were looking for any communications back and forth with Google, is that if Google had come in and submitted an email to the NSA, that would be included in our request. Now, that would have nothing to do with the NSA's mission or the NSA's activities because it's a private company contacting the NSA. But they've said that even that would, in the basic premise, be included in the NSA's activities.
So this coming from the agency that for many years, the always joke was they didn't even admit they existed.
No such agency.
Exactly. So something happened recently with this lawsuit. Obviously, this is something that started in 2010, moved into 2011. Where are we now with it?
Well, we just filed the appeal to the circuit court because the district court held that the NSA's mission is so broad and the NSA is allowed to do so many things that they don't have to basically provide a response to any FOIA request or on anything, which is kind of how this would go. They only have to say this is in their activities. They don't have to explain why. They don't have to say that there are documents. So what we said is that this cannot be right. Logically speaking, our request didn't relate only to NSA activities. So they can't get out of logic. They can't logically overcome FOIA and just turn down everybody. So we're now in the circuit court. We're appealing that. If that goes through successfully, and we think it will, we'll go back to the district court.
So you gave us kind of a good roundup on both of these. I think if someone, you know, if I could play a little devil's advocate with you for a second, to be clear, the Epic's concern is not so much that the companies are being communicating, or for instance, in DHS's case, that they are looking at specific areas. You just, they're not being upfront about it. And this idea of open and transparent government is one thing that the Obama administration says. And here, on the other hand, you have these two agencies and probably others that you probably are following as well, mm-hmm. that say, well, not on this, we're not going to be open and transparent. Is that the push here?
Well, we have these things out there called fair information practices, and they're basically six things that we feel companies have to do in order to maintain fair databases. And one of them is they have to be transparent. Another one is they have to allow access and redress. So if something's incorrect, somebody can come in and fix it and say, this isn't right about me, let me tell you what the truth is. And the NSA and the DHS is by extension, both are avoiding these basic practices that come with correct, full, fair databases, and we're trying to fix that problem.
I know DHS, for instance, has one of the better chief privacy officers, Mary Ellen Callahan, in the government. Now, I know people could see you now. You'd be smiling. But give me a sense now. Have you gone to her directly and tried to work through her? Because obviously she understands your need, the privacy issue, the issue for both privacy, but also to, you know, public privacy impact assessments and things like that.
When Mary Ellen Callahan first came to office, we asked her for a meeting, and we asked her for a meeting a few times, and she turned us down. We ended up having to actually FOIA her calendar to figure out why she was turning us down. So we've gone back and forth with the DH privacy office a lot, and one of the things we found is their privacy impact assessments, what they're supposed to be saying, this isn't protecting privacy, this isn't doing this, is basically greenlighting any program that DHS has. So they're just pushing things forward and pushing things forward, and nothing is being stopped.
So FOIA the calendar. My friends at OMB may hear from me now. Jared Serbu.
Brilliant idea. Amy Stepanovich is the National